We're starting on Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, 11 lines down from the top. Yesterday's daf, we finished off with the Gemara discussing the time that the mun fell, and how we reconcile the issue that the 8th mun, it says in the Pasuk, Arbaim Shana Adbaam Eretz Noshavet, Et Amar Nachlu Adbaam Elketzei Eretz Kanan. So how do we reconcile between Eretz Noshavet and Eretz Kanan? The Gemara's solution was to suggest that even though the mun stopped before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were able to continue to eat from this mun until Shisha Asar bin Nisan. Now the Gemara brings an additional brisa with regards to the mun. It says, Tani Idach, V'nei Shol Echlu Et Amun Arba'im Shana. V'nei Shol ate the mun for 40 years. V'chi Arba'im Shana Echlu. Did they really eat it for 40 years? Halo Arba'im Shana Chaser Shloshim Yom Echlu. They didn't really eat it for the whole 40 years. They ate it for 40 years minus 30 days, because when they went out of Mitzrayim, they did not eat the mun until the 16th of Iyar. So there was an entire month where they didn't have the mun. So how come the Pasuk says they ate it for 40 years? So that tells you that the cakes and the produce and the bread that they brought out of Mitzrayim tasted like the mun. So when it says that they had the mun for 40 years, they had the mun or mun equivalents for 40 years, but not that the mun itself fell for those 40 years. Tanya Yidoch, we have an additional brisa that deals with the topic of Moshe's death. We said in the first brisa that we had brought down in yesterday's daf, the top of this Amud, that Moshe Rabbeinu had died on the 7th of Adar, and then the mun stopped when Moshe died, because b'schus Moshe the mun was nofel, as the Gemara Megillah says, and then they were mistapik from that mun that was in their kelim until Shisha Asar bin Nisan, until the 16th of Nisan. So now the Gemara is going to talk about the fact that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. Tanya Idach, we have an additional Breita. Shiva Adar met Moshe, then on the 7th of Adar Moshe died. Ubishiva Adar nolad. And Moshe was also born on the 7th of Adar. Minayin Shiva Adar met. How do we know that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar? Shnemar, because it says, Vayamat Moshe Eved Hashem, that in Arvot Moav, Moshe passes away. Uchtiv, after the death of Moshe, it says, Vayivku Bnei Yisrael at Moshe Barvot Moav Shloshim Yom, that the Avelut, or the crying that Bnei Yisrael did for Moshe's death, was went for 30 days. So from after his death, they were being mit abel on Moshe for 30 days. Uchtiv, and then when we come into Yoshua, it says, Vayihi achrei mot Moshe eved Hashem, that after the death of Moshe, Uchtiv, Moshe avdi mit, now that my master Moshe is dead, v'ata kum avor, now you're going to go and cross the Yarden. Uchtiv, Pasuk says, Avru ivru v'kher v'machane v'tzivu et am leimor, go through the entire encampment and tell them, Hechinu lehem tzeda, prepare the wares and the needs that they have for the journey. Ki ba'ot shloshet yamim tavru et ha'yarden, because in another 3 days they're going to cross the Yarden. Uchtim, and then we have another pasuk says, Va'amalu min ha'yarden basor l'chodesh ha'rishon, that Bnei Yisrael came out of the Yarden, they came into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th of Nisan. So tzemehen shloshim v'shlosha yamim, so if we go backwards from this, or we work backwards, we can figure out, if they came out of the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan, we know that they had 30 days for the Avelut of Moshe, and after the death of Moshe and the Avelut, Hashem comes to Yoshua and tells him that in another 3 days you will cross the Yarden, meaning prepare yourselves in order to be ready to cross in 3 days, and we know they crossed on the 10th of Nisan. So if we back out 33 days from the 10th of Nisan, we get back to the 7th of Adar. So therefore we know, Hadamata Shabashiva Adar met Moshe. So from that we know that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. Tosos deals with a small issue that there's an additional pasuk in Yehoshua presents a small problem, which is that after the end of the 3 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back to, Yehoshua speaks to the people and says, L'machar, that tomorrow, right, that tomorrow Hashem will do niflaot, which sounds like they only crossed the Yarden on the 4th day, meaning that there were really 34 days. So Tosfos tries to reconcile in different ways how we get to this 33 days, because we know they crossed on the 10th, so how do we get from Zayin Adar to the 10th without this problem of l'machar? So now the Gemara wants, or the Brisa wants to test, how do we know that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar? So Bryce says, Minayin Shebesheva Adar Nolad Moshe. I don't know if he's born on the 7th Adar, Shenemar. Because it says, Moshe, in Arvot Moav, right before his death, he says, Ben Me'av Asrim Shana Anochi Hayom, that today I am 120 years old. Lo Uchal Od Atzeit V'Lavo, that I can no longer lead the people. Shein Tal Amar Hayom. What does it mean, today I'm 120 years old? Why can't he just say, I am 120 years old? The fact that he said 120 years today Teaches us that Hashem completes the life of a tzaddik, whatever the amount of years or time that a tzaddik is allowed or allocated, Hashem gives them that full allocation until the completion of the year. So therefore, if Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, it must be that he was born on the 7th of Adar because he got to the entirety of his 120-year life. Shenemar et mispar yamecha amalei, that the days of your life, of your existence, I will fill. Fill, meaning completely, that they will be full years and not years that cut off. So that if Moshe died and he was 120, and we know he died on the 7th of Adar from the Psukim, then we also must assume that he was born on the 7th of Adar as well. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic that we had left before, which is the topic of Chadash. Now we know that Chadash applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And now the Gemara wants to know, what about Kilei HaKerem and Orla? So the way we first approach this is, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Tanya, we have a brace, Rav Shimon Chai Omer, Shlosh Mitzvot, Nitzdavu Yisrael B'Knisnatan Aretz. There are three mitzvot that Bnei Yisrael started to do only after they entered the land of Israel. Why is it only after they entered the land of Israel? As Rashi points out, because in the Midbar, Lo Zaru V'Lo Katru V'Lo Natu, they didn't plant, they weren't an agricultural community in the Midbar, so none of this was applicable. Only once they reached or came into Eretz Israel was it relevant, these dinim. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion that when it comes to Chadash, when it says B'chol Moshvotechem, that Moshav means B'chol Makom Sha'atem Yoshvim, anywhere that you live. So we know for sure that Chadash applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. Now, based on that, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wants to say that we have a Kav HaChomer, so that these three mitzvot that they were in Stavu when they came into Eretz Yisrael, no gold, ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz, they apply both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'adin, it's a kal v'chomer, she'inagu, that it should work. Uma chadash, chadash we know is already applicable both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael because of the b'chol moshvotechem. How do we know orlan kilayim? He says, let's learn it out from a kal v'chomer. We have a logical argument. Ma chadash, she'in yisuro yisur olam. First of all, chadash is not usur forever, as Rashi says, because once the 16th of Nisan comes, the end of the 16th of Nisan, the chadash is mutar, and one can eat. It becomes yashan after that point, and then one can eat that produce that was picked or grown prior to the Omer, or prior to the 16th of Nisan. The ein yisro yisur hana. Number two is that the restriction of chadash is only to eat it, not to get benefit from it. One can cut the stuff down and give it to his animals to eat, although there are certain yisurei d'rabbanan that the Gemara talks about in Minachot, but nevertheless, min haTorah, there is no Isur Ano with regards to the Omer. V'yesh heter li Isuro. As in addition to that, there is heter li Isuro. The way Rashi is learning now, heter li Isuro means that if you bring the Karbana Omer, if there is no Karbana Omer, then the Chadash is only Nitar on the 17th of Nisan. You have to get to the end of the day of the 16th, and then on the 17th it's Mutar. But if you have the Karbana Omer and the Zman HaMikdash, if you bring the Karban in the middle of the day of the 16th, like they did, or in the morning of the 16th, then the Chadash is Nitar even in the middle of the 16th. So even though generally throughout the day of the 16th it would be Asur, but if you bring the Karbana Omer, then it's Mutar even in the middle of the day. So the Yesh Heter, the Isuro. What would otherwise have been Asur on the 16th now becomes Mutar because you bring the Karbana Omer. So these three qualities, right, are kulot that we have by Chadash. Again, that it does not last forever. It does not have an Isur Hana. And even in a point where it should be Asur, there is something like the Omer that can be Matirit. And there, nevertheless, it's Noheg Ben Ba'aretz, Ben B'chutz La'aretz. And Chadash applies both inside of Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kilayim, when it comes to Kilayim, Shisuram, Isur Olam. Once one plants Kilei HaKerem, once there is grains growing inside of a vineyard, that becomes kilayim, and it's asur forever. There's no way to change that. V'isuran isur hana'a. Not only is it asur b'achila when it comes to kilayim v'kerem, it's also asur b'hana'a. Not only can you not eat it, but you also cannot get any benefit from it. V'ein heter li'isuran. And there's no way to change the status of the isur when it comes to kilayim. So here, all these three items are more chamor than chadash. Then certainly, by kilayim, it should apply ben b'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz. Enu din shinagig, ben b'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz. And we have the same kav v'chomer by orla b'shtayim in two of these items. Now, which two of these items is a subject of interpretation? The way Rashi learns it is that when it comes to orla, orla has a din of isuro, has a din of isur, but that isur is not isur olam. Why is it not isur olam? Because fruits are only asur and orla for the first 3 years. When it comes to the fourth year, then those fruits become mutar. So that the Isur of Orla only extends for 3 years, but not into the fourth year. But within the first 3 years, they are Asur b'hana'a, meaning that just like Kil'ayim, Orla is not only Asur b'achila, but also Asur b'hana'a. And number two is En Hiter l'Isuro. When it is Orla in the first 3 years, there's no way to change the status of the Orla in those first 3 years, and they remain Asur. So with those two items, it's more Chamor the Chadash. So again, En Udin, so that it should be Noheg, Ben Ba'aretz, Ben Mechutz La'aretz. The problem in Rashi's interpretation, this is what Tosfos points out, and Tosfos brings a slew of alternative interpretations, we'll maybe try to catch one or two of them here, is that Rashi suggests that Orla is En Yisro Yisro Olam. It's not forever the Yisur, because in the fourth year, the fruits become mutar. But truthfully, Orla applies to the fruits, not to the tree itself. The fruits that grew in the first 3 years are Asur, and they will remain Asur Yisur Olam. The fruit that grows in the fourth year is not called Orla. It's called Kerem Revai or Netar Revai. I mean, that stuff that has to be brought up to Yushalayim, that has to be eaten inside of Yushalayim, it's a different category. So how does Rashi say that the fourth year, which is Heter, tells you that Orla is not an Yisur Olam? Because any fruit that is Orla will never become Mutar, and it's an Yisur Olam. So because of that, Tosfos says that they have to offer alternative options or pshatim in what the difference or what is different about Orla. So they introduce possibilities that either Rabbeinu Tam suggests that Orla means in the fourth year. That Rabbeinu Tam says when it's talking about Orla, it means in the fourth year itself, and that Yesh Hiter LeYisuro. I mean, what does it mean? That it is an Isur Isur Olam. That the fourth year, the fruits that go there are always Netar Revai, or they're always Kerem Revai, but they are not in Heter LeYisuro is not true, because you could redeem those fruits. If you redeem those fruits, then those fruits, you take the money up to Yerushalayim to eat, and those fruits become Mutar to eat wherever you want. So you're able to remove the Isur from the fruit through Pidyon. There is weakness in the Rabbeinu Tam's Pshad, is that is really the fourth year. The fruits that go in the fourth year are really not called Orla. Orla really refers to the fruits in the first 3 years. Now, the other interpretations that are brought down, for instance, the Ri. The Ri has an alternative explanation, is that he says it's talking about the tree itself, on the tree itself. So when there's a heter, the isuro is going on the tree itself. So when it comes to Orla, when you look at the tree, there's a heter, the isuro, once the tree reaches its fourth year. So if that. So now what's the equivalent by Chadash? By Chadash, he also says, Yesh Heter LeYisuro. So how do you have an equivalent thing by Chadash? So he says, because if you have a stalk of grain that's growing, and then the Omer comes, then stuff that grows even after the Omer is brought on that stalk will be Mutar already. Why? Because it was Nishrash. It already had rooted prior to the Omer. That's the din. If it's planted 3 days before the Omer and it's taken root, then the Omer is able to be Matirit. So you have an equivalent type of case, that even a stalk of grain by Chadash has Heter LeYisuro, because even though it's Asur until the Omer, once the Omer comes, stuff that grows afterwards will also be Mutar. And that's the equivalent by Orla. Orla also, the tree itself, right, is not what Isur, but the fruits that come off the tree. And the tree will eventually be able to produce items that are Heter LeYisuro that will become Mutar, which is in the fourth year of the tree's life. So those are all different pshatim, but either way, or in conclusion, the way Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is learning is the Chadash is Asur, Ben Ba'aretz, Ben Mechutz La'aretz, because of B'chol Moshevotechem. Kilei Akerim and Orla, he wants to learn from a Kal V'chomer, because they have stringencies that do not apply to Chadash, and so certainly they should apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. His son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shnitzdavu Yisrael Kodem Knisatam La'aretz, Nohaget Ben Ba'aretz Ben Mechutz La'aretz. Any mitzvah that had application before B'nai Yisrael entered into the land, why does it have application before they enter the land? Because it must be a Chovat Aguf. Since it was have application before, and then it applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. La'achar Knisatam La'aretz, if the mitzvah only became effective once they entered the land of Israel, then it's Enu Noheget Ela Ba'aretz. Then it only applies inside of Eretz Yisrael, because the fact they have to wait for it to be applicable until they came into Eretz Yisrael tells you that it's relevant to the karka, or it's a chovat karka. And if it's a chovat mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, then that only applies inside of Eretz Yisrael. Two exceptions, chutz min hashmatat ksafim mishluach avadim. The exceptions to that rule are shmitat ksafim, that at the end of the seventh year all loans are forgiven, and shluach avadim, which is in the Yovel, all the slaves that stayed on, Eved Ivri, that guy was Nirtza, and stayed on beyond his original time, or an Eved Ivri or an Ama Ivriya, that the Yovel comes before the expiration of their term, to be avadim, then the Yovel sets all the avadim free. So these two items are accepted from the rule that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar set down over here. Now, I'm going to read the Gemara like Tosfos because I think it reads more simply like Tosfos. We'll mention later on that Rashi has a slightly different interpretation of the Gemara. So now, the Gemara says, wait a minute, Hashmata Ksafim Chovata Gufi. What's the question? Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon even have a Havamino that Shmita Ksafim should be Noheg only Baretz? Shmita Ksafim has to do with Chovata Guf. It's about loans between people. It has nothing to do with the land. So where it says, Lo Nitzur Chalik Tetanya, no, because we have a Hekesh between Shmita Ksafim and Shmita Karkaot. Tetanya, Tetanya Rabbi Omer, Zedvar Shmita Shamot, B'shtei Shmitot Akatuv Medaber. Achat Shmitat Karka, Vachat Shmitat Ksafim. Since the pasuk says the term Shmitah, Zedvar Shmitah, and Shamot, two times the word Shmitah appears, is Rabbi says that it's talking about two Shmitot. One is Shmitat Ksafim, the forgiveness of loans at the end of the seventh year, and Shmitat Karka, which is that one does not work the field during the seventh year. So Bizman Shata Mishamit Karka, Ata Mishamit Ksafim. The time that there's Shmitat Karka, there's also a din of Shmitat Ksafim. If there is no Shmitat HaKarka, there also will not be a Shmitat Ksafim. So only when Shmitat HaKarka is applicable will Shmitat Ksafim be applicable. So based on that, this is Shmitat Ksafim is a mitzvah that did not become applicable until they entered the land of Israel, because they were not Nohegan in the Midbar because of this Hekesh. Since there was no Shmitat HaKarka in the Midbar, there's no Shmitat Ksafim. So only after they entered into Eretz Israel did it become effective, and if it became effective only after they entered Eretz Yisrael, maybe it should be under the title of mitzvot that only became applicable b'knisatan aretz, and therefore it will only be relevant in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, "Ve'ema, why don't we say that? Bimkom she'ata mishamet karka, ata mishamet ksafim. Bimkom she'ein ata mishamet karka, ein ata mishamet ksafim." If there is this connection between Shmita Ksafim and Shmita Karka, why don't we take it one step forward, one step further, which is that if there's a connection to the Shmita HaKarka, and we know Shmita HaKarka only applies in Eretz Yisrael, maybe that Heke should say that Shmita Ksafim should also only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So Tamil Omar, Ki Karash Shmita Lashem Mikol Makom, that when it says Ki Karash Shmita Lashem means anywhere or any place, and that only, of course, be applicable to Shmita Ksafim. Because you can't say Ki Karash Shmita Lashem applies to Shmita HaKarka, because there it's clearly tied to the land, to the Oretz, and if it's tied to the Oretz, then it has to be inside of Eretz Yisrael. So only what can be applicable outside of Israel must be Shmitat Ksafim. So in the end, what do we have? We have a picture like this, that Shmitat Ksafim will only apply when there is Shmitat HaKarka. I mean, as long as there's Shmitah going on in Eretz Yisrael, there will be a din of Shmitat Ksafim. But when there is a din of Shmitat HaKarka and a din of Shmitat Ksafim, Shmitat Ksafim will apply not only in Eretz Yisrael, but also outside of Eretz Yisrael. So in one way, it's tied to Shmitat HaKarka. That's only effective when Shmitat HaKarka is effective. On the second hand, it's slightly different than Shmitat HaKarka, that application more broadly, meaning both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asks the same question by Shluach HaVadim. Shluach HaVadim Chovat HaGufi. Shluach HaVadim, sending away the slaves, is also Chovat HaGufi. It has nothing to do with the Karka. One frees a slave, that's a interpersonal relationship. The Gemara says, again, Saka Dat Chamin Ahol V'chativ Kratim Dror Ba'aretz. Right, I would have thought, what? Because it says, by the Yovel, Ukratim Dror, you'll call out for freedom in the Aretz. Ba'aretz in, b'chutz la'aretz lo. That only has application in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Talmud Lomar, Yovel Hi, Mikol Makom. So it says that it's Yovel Hi. Yovel Hi sounds like the Yovel has application anywhere you are. So Im Kein, Ma Talmud Lomar Ba'aretz. Well then, why does it say Kratim Dror Ba'aretz? What's unique to Eretz Yisrael that's not applicable to outside of Eretz Yisrael? Bizman Shad Dror Noeg Ba'aretz. When there's a Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, Noeg B'chutz la'aretz. Then it also has application outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ein dror noeg baretz, ein noeg b'chutz la'aretz. If there's no Yovel inside of Eretz Yisrael, then there's also no Yovel outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, when it comes to Yovel, when it comes to the Karka, or anything to do with the land, then obviously when we're talking about a Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, that only has application inside of Eretz Yisrael, because it has to do with the land itself. But there are other dinim in Yovel that are beyond, or extend beyond the Yovel of the Karka, which is the freeing of the slaves, and other items that happen during the Yovel year. So those things that happen in the Yovel year that are not tied to the Karka or to the land itself, they will have application outside of Eretz Yisrael, because it says Yovel Hi, anywhere. But they still will be tied to the Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, because it says Yovel, Kratim Dor Ba'aretz, so that the, like by Shmita Ksafim, where we said that the Shmita Ksafim was premised on there being a Shemitah Dakarka, even though Shemitah Kesavim applied everywhere in the world. So too over here. The Yovel, or the freeing, the Shluch Avadim, will only have application when there is a Yovel inside of Eretz Yisrael. As long as there's a Yovel inside of Eretz Yisrael, then Shluch Avadim will have broader application outside. It will be in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. So that's the way Tosfos learns over here. Rashi, on the other hand, has a slightly different sequence in the questioning of the Gemara, that he says, well, how could you say that this is a mitzvah that was Nitzavah Le'achar Knisat Aretz, Kevin Dechovat HaGufi, right? Then they were Nitzavah even in the Midbar. So then the Gemara says, well, if they were already Nitzav in the Midbar, it's a Chovat HaGufi. Then the Gemara says, no, they were not Nitzav in the Midbar. They were not Nitzav in the Midbar, so maybe it's not a Chovat HaGufi, because we have this Hekesh between Shemitah Karka and Shemitah Kesafim. So the Tzivoy was only in once they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And then they ask, well, if that's the case, that they had only application once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, maybe the also should only have application to the Aretz and not side of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara says, Tamalomar Kikras Shemitah, that does not have application, or that it has application outside of Eretz Yisrael. The other thing Tosfos brings up over here happens to be Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, that really is in the Gemara and Gittin, and that is, what's the connection between Yovel and Shemitat Kesafim? The way Rashi learns this connection is that Yovel is what determines whether there's Shemitat HaKarka Bisman Hazeh. I mean, that when there is a Yovel, there's also Shemitat HaKarka, there's also Shemitah that deals with the land. And since we also know there's an additional Hekesh between Shemitat Kesafim and Shemitat Karka, therefore, there is no Shemitah Kesafim when there is no Yovel. And that will be true. That's true today. That will be true. Whenever there is no Yovel, there will be no Shemitah Dakarka. And because there's no Shemitah Dakarka, there will not be any Shemitah Taksafim. On the other hand, Tosfos learns now that there's a direct link between Shemitah Kesafim and Yovel itself. That whenever there is no Yovel, there is no Shemitah Taksafim. I mean, that there's a direct link. They don't have to go through Shemitah Dakarka, but rather the Hekesh is directly between Shemitah Kesafim and Yovel. When there's no Yovel, there is no Shemitah Kesafim, independent of the Shemitah Dakarka. This is really not the place or the focus of their machlokas. Really has to do with the Gemara and Gittin. And there in the Gemara and Gittin, Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokas as to when the Yovel actually stopped. I mean, that how long was the Yovel Noheg? And based on how far the Yovel would be Noheg, will determine which halachot were still extant at the point that, for instance, in Bayit Sheni, Rashi believes that there was no Yovel in Bayit Sheni, so none of the Shluach HaVadim and all these other things would not apply during Bayit Sheni. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam there has a very unique shita that the Yovel applied or was still around during Bayit Sheni, and because of that, there was still Shluach HaVadim and Shemitah Kesafim during Bayit Sheni. Okay, we'll stop over here.